And good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome, 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 dear listeners. In terms of where you find yourself on this Tuesday, I do hope that you are, you know, tuned in here with the Brand Conversation here on your number one talk radio station, as we are delving deep and expansively into the world of branding, marketing, well, exercises with the exercises associated to advertising, and so much more. Now, we ended yesterday off with our niche marketing discussion, the advantages it provides and also the disadvantages. But remember that niche marketing is just but one of those strategies that you can make use of, because niche marketing helps you to find a easier entry point. The entry point into a market scenario might not be for an extended period of time, meaning it you might not be able to maintain it long enough, but you will be actually in, you will be able to sort of like create or achieve certain goals and certain wins in with regards to whatever you are trying to market or to sell. Now, today's discussion takes a totally different perspective, a totally different approach, which in some cases can and is most likely associated to niche marketing as well. Now, for today, we're going to be looking at a form of marketing. It's known as guerrilla marketing. Now, if you have not heard of guerrilla marketing, today is the day we, you and I, will be taking a look at this concept. Now, guerrilla marketing, guys, is something that's very brazen. It's very brave. It's thought-provoking. It's out there. It has a wow factor, and it provides you with, you know, a discussion point to go like, really? I never knew one could do this. And if you're wondering what guerrilla marketing is, before I get into the examples, let me generate a sort of like a discussion point for you. Guerrilla marketing, guys, always is witnessed at major events. Guerrilla marketing is also one of the ways where consumers or even just an audience or a market out there is being said, wow, what's going on here? What's happening here? Who's doing what? Now, the concept of guerrilla marketing is a marketing tactic in which a company uses a surprise or an unconventional interaction in order to promote a product or service. Guerrilla marketing, for that matter, guys, is different than traditional marketing. Now, listen here, I'm not even on the aspect of social media marketing or any of that kind of stuff that we now see in abundance today. We're on guerrilla marketing. Guerrilla marketing has always been there. It's always been there. Now, it often relies on personal interaction, but it has a smaller budget. And it also focuses on smaller groups of promoters that are responsible for getting the word out in a particular location rather than going through a widespread media campaign. Now I get into my first example of what happens, of what guerrilla marketing looks like. I'll throw in Nando's. Let's start off with something that you and I, we might have seen here in Southern Africa. Nando's, has always made use of guerrilla marketing. Actually, most of Nando's marketing advertising concepts is, you can throw it in the guerrilla marketing sphere. For example, the one with the blind lady and her guide dog, yes, I know, because the advert itself that they produced, because the ad only aired for 1 week. Only 1 week. That's all the ad did. It aired for 1 week. Then, because disability advocacy groups in South Africa were complaining about the messaging in the ad was taken off. But they had provided a surprise factor, but unfortunately they made use of a traditional media or a traditional communication medium, TV, But what they also did was that they put in a message in the ad on a very comedic base. Although they were trying to be, you know, to you make use of comedy, it was very comedic. Another thing that they also did as Nando's is that they made use of Julius Malema as a marionette. If you guys know what a marionette is, those puppets that... No, not a marionette. It's those puppets that ventriloquists make use of. Ventriloquists are the guys that sit with a puppet on their shoulder and the puppet is supposedly talking, you know, on its own next to the person. Now, they did a parody on something that when Julius Malema was still part of the ANC Youth League. That ad also just ran for a week. Once again, they stepped on another sphere of South African society, that being political parties or a ruling political party. One other one that they also engaged in terms of guerrilla marketing was their discussion point. I think it was with, it was ads that were generated between Nando's and there was another organization, but they made use of an actor, Ben Kingsley. If you guys can remember that ad where Ben Kingsley was standing next to the waiter, or not the waiter, the bartender at the bar, and he tells you at the end of the ad, all the time in the 10, 30 seconds that you've been listening to me, the bartender has changed. You would not have noticed that the bartender has changed his shirt at least 3 times. It's that ad, in that ad campaign. Now, that ad campaign had a spill-off ad campaign. Well, not a spill-off ad campaign, but a more spill-off a guerrilla campaign and tactic that took place after it. Now, guerrilla marketing, guys, remember, has to give you the wow factor. If you're a marketing enthusiast, practitioner, small or medium enterprise owner, guerrilla marketing is one of the ways that you can go. It sometimes is also concentrated in a specific zone or a specific location that you find yourself. For example, if you're someone that's a, let's say you're a braai stand vendor, or you're a kapana vendor, or you're a fat cake vendor, or you're a vegetable and fruits vendor. What you can do sometimes with guerrilla marketing is you can have someone, or you can stand with a billboard right next to the road saying, listen, we sell you one of the most juiciest fruits and veggies in town or here in the capital. One other notion of guerrilla marketing I have also seen, and this was my time when I went to Cape Town just for 3 months, was how flower vendors, yes, flower vendors. Anyone who's been to the center of Cape Town, you would know where these flower vendors are. They're close, in the close proximity of the train station, the central train station there in Cape Town itself, where I've heard one of the most controversial lines in my life. The lady is calling out, the lady now being the flower vendor, calling out to the man saying, sir, 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 here's a rose for your love because you might need it tonight to say sorry for where you're coming from. Now, I don't know if she was implying that she probably knows that the man might be cheating on his other half or not, but she wanted to make the sale. And she was being controversial in terms of giving the wow factor because I was laughing. My friend that was walking next to me was laughing. We were all laughing. But that's the most basic concept of guerrilla marketing that you can find. Because guerrilla marketing is not confined by a specific way of doing it. It's not. In essence, most concepts of marketing are not confined according to the traditional approach that you would have been exposed to, and that I've also shared here with you on the brand conversation, meaning that you need to have a place of distribution, you need to have a price, you need to have a product. And you need to have a promotional approach. Well, yes, you do. But under the understanding of the marketing concept, guerrilla marketing is useful if you are working on a smaller budget, if your operations are very small, and also it's based upon the type of product that you're trying to sell. Now, as I mentioned, I gave you an example of a vendor. Of a vendor. Now, understand if guerrilla marketing goes to a bigger scale. Well, Nando's was the one example. The other example I want to share with you is what happened in the 2006 World Cup in Germany, wherein a beer brand, and you guys know Bavaria, the non-alcoholic beer. Now, the FIFA itself already has a designated beer partner or advertiser or client for their World Cup competitions. And Bavaria, what they did was at a specific match between Holland, it was with Holland and someone, they sent in this small group. It's like six or seven women. No, it was nine women. Sorry. It was nine women who all wore the same outfit branded by the same company. And this is Bavaria, this non-alcoholic beer. They went and sat between the Dutch fans, because if you compare the color blue alongside orange, the color blue can stand out. It can stand out in, you know, if you just cluster six or nine people together. And you make them very beautiful women, mind you. These were very beautiful women. I remember this match because the camera was constantly going over the fans and they constantly stopped on the women. Now, that cluster of 9 to 10 women together in one corner on the one end of the football pitch, and that's not behind one of the goalposts, were placed smack bang between all the orange wearing Dutch fans. And what happened? It just takes 5 seconds, 6 seconds, even just a close-up shot by a camera angle to place on one of those women. The t-shirt is big enough, the logo is big enough for that image to be transported around the world. Now you see, at that stage in 2006, I didn't know who Bavaria was. The advertising, or the sort of like, what do they call it? Like the ethics committees there in FIFA try to, find some way of retribution against the brewing company that owns Bavaria. And they were trying to, you know, say, yeah, you were hijacking the event by sending in people that were dressed in your clothing. But there's nothing that the stewards or the people at the gates of the stadium can do. There's nothing they can do. Because those girls would come in with a jacket or something to cover up the t-shirt. And the moment they're inside, they take off the jacket. There's nothing you can't strip search them. You can't invade their personal privacy, meaning on their body. You can't go on, you know, seeing what they're wearing or dressing. You can't do that. Now, ultimately, that campaign itself shed a lot of light on the brand itself, because that was the aim that the marketing team from Bavaria wanted to achieve. That's what they wanted to achieve. Now, the key takeaways, guys, for guerrilla marketing is that it creates the use of novel and unconventional methods. And this is to boost sales. This is also to attract interest to the brand itself and the business. Guerrilla marketing, guys, can be used by anyone. I say anyone. You can use it for kindergarten. You can use it for the sky is the limit with guerrilla marketing. Because all you would need is an event to take place where you know there will be media coverage. And what happens is that you hijack it in some way. For example, there can be a protest is taking place, or someone is protesting about a very crucial social element, discussion point in the community here in the country. And you can sort of like show up there with a poster or something saying, listen, buy from Dwight's Biltong stand in Komasdal. Just there. I just need one camera angle on the poster that I've got in my hand. That's guerrilla marketing. That right there is guerrilla marketing. I know, guys. But this is what guerrilla marketing can also lead to. If we need to think about the ethical approach, Well, ethics is something that cannot be policed. It cannot even be considered to be policed, because you have to understand, you're in it to win it. You're not in it to lose. You're in it to win the biscuit. You want the biscuit. You don't want a piece of the biscuit. You want the whole biscuit. Now, this method, or the methods used in guerrilla marketing, are low cost or no cost at all. Yeah, low cost or no cost at all. And this also involves the widespread use.
Gusa etokoro lyohunga. Lipoperanya moge, popera wakweni. Ninka wakurugane yowamba. Wakurugane yowamba. Wakurugane yowamba, oweno urugansi sungumi. Moktura mwe hundiro lye yowamba zuma okoko, dimo gwana kuma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa nomoro zoe utantandatu zime, tatu e utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura kwa Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Hello Namibia. Indirapa manate muyuni walela pe. Lela pe onkaro ompu wa mafutiro no kwethisa ngoka haguningwa pamkaro gongodi hokatavuru okutuminako omatumaraka goe agehe na ngoka gopaipindi no taga dhanwa no kutuwa mombepo ethimbo ojo tuunjoka. Otovuru okuningashike ko lela pe. Otovuru okutura omatumaraka goe mombepo torongisa oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka kalela pei, nenge uture moshifo sho The Villager ni kwao ya wedhapo. Otovuru okuninga omafutiro goe. Otovuru ishe okuturako omatumaraka goe ginima ya yoroka. Ngashi, omatumaraka goru kozi, omatumaraka goma hiyo, omatumaraka goma harero ya mbeko goma baro, na matumaraka goku arukehe ngoka wakara uteithire oshiwana ashikesho monamibia, okuza warapo doranda tu ni thiringa itano metumaraka kehe. Lela pay oharongo ngini. Konga oka epa ko lela pay ko Play Store, nenge ko App Store, eto katura kakarekeri mongo dioe. Paturura o akauntae oshari, eto turamo o mausemba goe. Indako kanjato koe kimariwa, eto turako oshimariwa, to udhitha shoka topurwa uudhithe. Shampa wa mana okuturamo o mausemba goe, hogora kucha wahara okurungitha ehangano, nenge o vendaini, o Eagle FM, nenge o The Villager. Ronge kitha etumaraka joe, eto sindi mpoka pashangwa send, utume. Shamba watumu etumaraka joe, kotari turu wako Eagle FM, imba, lela pei, nenge ko The Villager. Ona ishe ompito yokuturako irongwa moyoe yokomake. Tumina inimawe ko digital@malaite.com notai urikwa menderero. Opo ukare waguza kukara ndisi, tudengera nena kono rahetatu imwe, mbari nora, ndatongoi, hamano, ndatu ndatu, nenge kono rahetatu imwe, ndatu mbari, hetatu, 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 ne, no nora yeriari. Lela pe, imo nena, nena, tai adhika ko App Store, no ko Google Play Store.
Now, as we come back from our extended break, understand, guys, that with this, you can use it either as no cost or as a very low cost in terms of guerrilla marketing that you can make use of. Now, the other side is that it is mostly based upon interpersonal interactions, meaning you have to be there, or whoever that you're going to make use of in terms of providing you this facility has to be there in person. You have to be there, or the audience has to interact with the message even. They have to interact, meaning they can either walk on it, walk past it, see it, or perhaps even, you know, share something of it. Now, this marketing method, guys, has increased in popularity with the rise of not just the social media platforms, but also something like your mobile phones, and as well as also the other connected technologies that can amplify the message even further. What do I mean by this? Well, here's what happens. Through influencers, these influencers then carry the message on their social media platforms. But through, like, the general public, not the public, but the public sphere out there, like, for example, a sidewalk or a pavement or a road or an intersection where two roads cross over, anything in that form, right? anything where you can have people seeing the product name, brand, coloring, logo, everything is an aspect also of, firstly, activation, and secondly, of getting it going, getting the message, the awareness level going. Because you want to get the awareness levels up, you want to increase that, and you also want to increase the interactions with regards to the presence of the logo and the discussion points. Now, this is also an in-your-face promotional strategy. Yeah, it is. It's in your face. As I mentioned, from the Nando's perspective to the Bavaria example to the flower vendor in Cape Town, each one of them is in your face. It's not like you're seeing it through a TV screen sometimes, or the Nando's one was through the TV screen. But they were controversial in their sense because the concept, they hijacked the concept. A major public discussion was hijacked and converted into a different kind of package discussion for you to look at. One that serves the purpose of Nando's in that regard. The aspect of guerrilla marketing, guys, is very dependent on viral marketing and word of mouth communication. Now, it can reach a broader audience very quickly. Very, very quickly. Let me also give you another local example is, for all of us that have driven, if it was your first time ever driving to the north and you've seen all those, shebeens that were painted blue at one stage, you know who painted the shebeens blue. I won't mention the company name in terms of, indicating to, the indirect exposure. But you guys remember and saw those blue painted shebeens in the northern towns. Firstly, it was in your face. Secondly, it had an interaction or interpersonal component, because whoever is a patron of such of those kinds of branded shebeens, you would definitely know. You would definitely know. So the exposure level and the added exposure level was tripled and multiplied exponentially with that regard, because everyone would say, "Yeah, my friend's business or the shebeen or the bar that I went to over the weekend, it's that one that was recently painted blue." Now understand, guys, that's what guerrilla marketing also looks at. It's cost effective. It's basically cheap. It's basically for free. Basically for free. And here's the thing in Namibia. You don't see it a lot coming from entrepreneurs or even just skilled people that have, specific skills in this country. I mean, just now I had to advise someone, make use of your social media platform. You have the skills. You're a multi-skilled person, individual. You can run a million-dollar company, but you can also create your own million-dollar enterprise on the one. And I told her just now, make use of your social media. Firstly, you'll be starting off with niche marketing, but secondly, you'll technically be making use of some form of guerrilla marketing. Now, also understand, guys, the use of guerrilla marketing is not confined to specific kinds of products. You can sell anything. Yes, you can sell snow to an Eskimo. Yes, you can sell dung to a dung beetle. And that's the aspect of what guerrilla marketing aims to do. Get the awareness, get the tongues wagging about your product, get the edginess of what your product aims to do out there. Out there. I mean, this is what you can make use of in terms of just some of the public spaces there where you can implement your own guerrilla marketing tactic. You've got social media already, so let's take that off the list. But sometimes you can, it can, if it has to take place in a public space, you can take a look at where big audiences would cluster together at one given event. Streets, concerts, public parks, sporting events, festivals, on a beach, at shopping centers. Guys, there's nothing wrong with dressing someone up as a walking billboard. Even you, the company owner or the business owner. Walking billboard. You've seen it with some people doing it on their buckies and on their cars. They would slap on those magnetic tape billboards onto their cars, on the sides of their cars. Advertising. So technically, they are also practicing guerrilla marketing.
Ushua kokusha oshikwiririmba oshina hepero momunyovye tupeva peyuva. Monao, po Global Parts, tunova ungure ovapuike, odhonongo, nova harupu okukuvatera. Tunovitenda peke peke vyo vikwiririmba okudhako Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, BMW, nui natuwa wedha ovitenda vyo Toyota. Wedhako omanao manene shimuna omaile no top run. Tuvada po mura rimbui o Naismith mo Southern Industrial Area. Po Global Parts tukupa onji viro othemba ohunga no vitenda vyo vitore. Global Parts, global reach for best local advice and prices.
Now, as we come back, heading into the second half of today's discussion, understand, guys, you have the world at your exposure or at your fingertips in terms of what you can do with guerrilla marketing. It can be indoor, it can be outdoor, it can be an event, specific event, it can be experiential, and can be anywhere as long as the public can interact with it or the public can see it and it's interpersonal and it gets the discussion points going, meaning people can start talking about it. Now, do remember, guys, there is differences to the kinds of guerrilla marketing you can initiate or you can employ. You've got viral or buzz marketing. You've got stealth marketing. You've got ambient guerrilla marketing. You've got ambush guerrilla marketing. You've got projection advertising. You've got astroturfing. You've got grassroots. You've got wild posting. You've got street. And then you've got pop-up retail. Now, pop-up retailers, some of the things that I've seen here in the malls here in the capital, where they use pop-up stores or pop-up stalls, stuff like that. They sell off they rent off a specific quantity of floor space to you. Then you put up a little stall and then you start trading with various pedestrians that are walking throughout the mall. Here's the other thing also. Sometimes what I've seen with street vendors, and this is why I love street vendors. You know, street vendors, they are doing the exercise purely based upon making a living, but the exercise itself reflects in a marketing concept somewhere. You will find a street vendor, guys, on a corner of an important junction where a mall is. You will find a street vendor on a corner of an important junction, meaning a four-way, a major four-way for traffic, as well as also for pedestrians, right opposite or right next to, well, in most cases, it's right opposite of a mall, and they still attract customers. Now, one side, I've got a lot of admiration for street vendors that can do that. Clearly, we live in a world of pure competition. So it's all about competition. And in that same space, they are doing their best. They are doing their part. Now, their guerrilla marketing is that they're already selling an easy to access product. It's either a fat cake, a little bit of a beef stew or a mutton stew or a lamb stew situation, because there's always a piece of meat somewhere. And then the fat cake scenario. And some sweets and some airtime. So they at least, they diversify themselves. So right there, street vendors are already doing and practicing the game that you only hear of being practiced by multinational corporations or big companies with multi-billion dollar or multi-million dollar advertising budgets. Now right there, guys, you have the potential to initiate the same kind of mechanism. Get it going. But there's also a few downsides. Now, before I get to the downsides, just some of the easiest or, you know, easy to adopt viral marketing mechanisms, which I just shared with you in terms of like viral ambush, ambient stealth, projection, astroturfing, grassroots, wild posting, street, and pop-up retail. Well, I've already spoken about pop-up retail. But if you have to look at viral, viral makes use of an existing social network. So this can either be the contacts in your WhatsApp on your phone that have WhatsApp accounts, your Facebook, your Twitter, your all those other, you know, technology-based social networks. Then you've got your real-life family scenario, your friend circle, here at the office, at school, on university, wherever, in the church, wherever, there is a little social cluster in terms of where you are constantly connected to. Now, viral marketing, guys, seeks to spread the information about a product or service from a person to a person by word of mouth. And remember, back to my customer service discussion just 2 weeks back, where I told you, and even yesterday, where I told you, a negative impact on a customer's experience with a company can be multiplied by 10, or by 5, or by 6, or by 8, because they will tell so many people about their negative experience. If it's a positive experience, it's just by 6 or by 8. It's pretty limiting. That's by 8 is the highest it can go. Now, right there, viral marketing helps guerrilla marketing thrive. Viral marketing helps guerrilla marketing thrive. Even here at the studio, colleagues of mine that would tell you, listen, if you want to buy from specific food somewhere, go here and here and here. It happens. You see it every day. I see it every day. We interact on that level every day. But you can adopt the same strategy. You see, if you have a product or a service that you can initiate, or you can enter into a product, into a market with, there is an entry mechanism that helps you, that can help you do that. That can help you do that. Now, the goal here is to inspire people or individuals to continuously share the message going ahead for viral marketing. Remember, viral marketing falls part of the guerrilla marketing strand. So the aim is to convince people to carry the message on further. If it's negative, obviously it'll spread like a wildfire. But if it's a positive one, people will ask you, so how long have you been using this? How long have you been doing that? What is this? What is that? What's its comparison to its competition? What makes it different from what its competition offers? They'll ask you those kinds of questions to get into understanding, okay, why is Dwight trying to talk about a specific product in the viral marketing approach under the guerrilla marketing concept? Now, from the guerrilla marketing, or from the viral marketing one, there's one that's actually drawing my attention a lot. And this is almost the astroturfing. Now, astroturfing is just the term used for what happened. But the concept of the World Cup example I gave you in terms of the Bavaria situation in the World Cup of 2006, when they hired that group of 9 beautiful women. And remember, it was not just one match. They did it at 3 matches. In the group stages. They did it at 3 matches. 3 matches they did this. Where a group of beautiful women wearing specifically branded t-shirts entered the stadium because they bought tickets, entered the stadium, sat together, took off their jackets, and were part of the crowd. But you see this cluster of like blue-clad women, blue t-shirt-clad women. Very beautiful women. And obviously they would attract your eye very quickly. Just clustered together. And then they've got a message on their t-shirts. Now, that is astroturfing. That is rent a crowd even. Other ideas that have come through in terms of this aspect of guerrilla marketing has been flash mobs. A flash mob, guys, is a little bit more theatric. I have to stress this because flash mobs attract a big crowd very quickly. One of the most important ones, or one of the most impressive ones, has always been in New Zealand in 2011, when New Zealand hosted the World Cup, the Rugby World Cup there in their country. And they continuously had these flash mobs happening all across major cities of New Zealand, from Wellington to Auckland to Christchurch to Hamilton. No, not Hamilton. Hamilton didn't have one. Dunedin also had one. So each one of them enjoyed or experienced this flash mob scenario. Even in South Africa, they've tried doing flash mob marketing campaigns, especially in Cape Town. I don't know about Joburg, but especially in Cape Town, and sometimes also a little bit in Durban or in Port Elizabeth, which is now a different city name. So renting a crowd usually is linked to the flash mob experience. So if it's a cultural event, sometimes you would have let's say it's a concert about something, you would have people, a group of people that are like the dancers of something, come out into a public square, public space somewhere. For example, let's say if you had it here in Post Street Mall here in the capital, because Post Street Mall is one such big public space where you have a lot of people walking up and down, and right there, you can have a flash mob scenario take place. Now, remember, a flash mob is not just limited to a company renting a group of dancers or a group of performers to do something in order to promote the brand name or brand, you know, identity of a product or the company. You also have people that can do it themselves. You have had artists do it themselves. Artists, I'm literally like musicians showing up in public spaces and just started singing or playing pianos and playing guitars and stuff like that. That's one of the ways you can get the message out there about your skill or the product. Your skill or your product. Renting a crowd, remember, is a specific thing because you need a specific approach. This can be let's say you can even do a mock demonstration scenario. A mock demonstration would be everyone there is hired, right? They show up with posters and placards and stuff like that at a specific space. Everyone is trying to understand. That's not the rest of the public is trying to understand what's going on, why there's so many people clustered here together and stuff like that. And they all have placards. All of them will go, okay, it's another demonstration perhaps. But what are they demonstrating about? Then the moment the media show up, it is being revealed why these group of people are collecting here together. Just the moment the media show up, and then it becomes sort of like free exposure. The aim is for exposure purposes. Now, that technique, that specific technique, astroturfing or rent a crowd, can only be pulled off if you have to. You know, if it's like a grand opening or grand awareness scheme for something, or a specific outlet of a business, you know, something like that, when you have to make a big reveal of something, it can only be associated with those kinds of stuff. Sometimes even if it's the launch of something new, then you have like a flash mob scenario of a group of dancers dancing just outside of a head office or something, or the factory or somewhere, or the main store or something of a shop or a business performing, you know, a certain dance routine, just to get to entertain the crowd, entertain the greater public and audience, but also to indicate to them, listen, this company is doing this or this business is doing that. But let's understand also, flash mobs, astroturfing, renting a crowd won't technically work if you're a vendor or a smaller business operator, because, I mean, if you want to hire 3 people, that's not a crowd. That's 3 is most technically just 3 people. They're 3 people. But if it was 20 people dancing in a routine, why not? 10 people at least, minimum. Why not? Or you send 10 people to a soccer match or a rugby or club rugby match here in the country. Why not? Or you decide even, and I'm just using this example. Or you decide to, let's say you are going to have an event either at a social setting like a school or a church or a university, and you have certain people of, let's say, either if it's the teachers or it's a classroom of students or it's the building itself. Because, I mean, if people's shebeens have been painted blue before, that means there is technically no limit in terms of a social setting that you can reach. I'm not saying...
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Now, just getting back from our quick break in terms of where I left off, I'm not saying that you can go and paint someone's church, you know, red, green, yellow, or stuff like that in terms of your company's branding. But the scenario is that you can make use, you can play with certain scenarios. Sometimes religion is kept out of the bounds of stuff like of branding and marketing exercises. But the sky is the limit, up to you. Remember that. The sky is the limit. Now, one of the other concepts of guerrilla marketing, and this is now as we're heading into the last stretch of today's program, is the notion of the street. The street is a tricky one. It's a tricky one. Because the street sometimes can be that you can paint a section of the street in terms of your corporate colors or your organizational colors or your product or stuff like that. Or even the sidewalk, meaning the pavement of the street. Now, guys, remember here, especially in the capital, there are specific rules and regulations in terms of what happens on the pavement. Because the pavement is council property, meaning it's municipal property. It's municipal property. So you've got to be very clever in terms of what you do. And also, where you're going to do it. If it's in the street opposite your business or your place of business operation, maybe, for sure, yes. I mean, in such a regard, you only have to get clearance perhaps from the local council, explaining in one or other motivational letter. But let's also be clear. The moment you touch public infrastructure, you are technically busy with vandalism. Please, guys, this is not to indicate, you know, vandalism to take place, because how a council would interpret it or would be that you are vandalizing. If you paint something that is public property in your company or your business's corporate colors, you are technically busy with vandalism in a form. Even if it's just painting, and you can buy a paint to paint it back, you know, to clean it back up, like what they sometimes do if it's, if it's on a white wall, you just buy the white paint and then, you know, return it back to its former color scheme. If it's on a road, because tar roads are technically black, and you just have to get a black paint to repaint once again over said painting or paint markings. But still, the more most important thing is achieve council clearance first, meaning from the municipality you find yourself in, before you enact or make use of the strategy. It's a very important one. Not an important one, but it's a very, how should I say, it's a very sort of like impactful method. Because motorists will easily see there's something on the road. Motorists technically just look at the road. Very seldomly do motorists even look at billboards if the billboard is not in a very good position. If it's not in a good position and you drive too fast, you won't read the message on the billboard. Or if the billboard has too much text on it for you to read. You can't stop in the middle of where you are to try and read the billboard, no. But if something is on the road and there's not much text, it's just a picture and, you know, one name or one word there with a company name, motorists will read it. They'll be able to read it driving over it, and they'll be curious, what's happening here? What's going on there? But I'll stress to you once again, there's a big difference, especially with the viral aspect and street guerrilla marketing tactics. Get approval from either the private owner of the property or situation, or get, if it's a public space, get approval from council. Remember, guys, do that first, because technically you can commit, it's not a crime, it's more like a misdemeanor, but it's vandalism nonetheless, because you'll just be using paint. If it's just paint, you'll be using. But then also understand, if it's going to be on the pavement, also certain aspects that you also have to find approval for. Because if you're going to paint something on the pavement, you also have to get approval for it. Now, ending off on our discussion for today, understand that there are also mistakes that happen. Now, it's crucial to share these mistakes with you here on the Brand Conversation, because everything in the realm of marketing and specific advertising communication does not always play out as a successful mechanism or method. Because what happens is, for example, let's say that World Cup scenario, an example of guerrilla marketing there in the German World Cup of 2006, is that the brewing company who owns Bavaria, the non-alcoholic beer brand, who hired those groups of women, they made their impact. Even if it was just for 30 seconds, 1 minute, 20 seconds, stuff like that. They made their impact because the impression was already communicated around the world. Around the world. I mean, almost 4 to 6 billion, or almost 4 billion or 5 billion people watch the Football World Cup. Every year it happens. It's big business, that event. So what happened? If you can get a beautiful women dressed up in branded t-shirts and stuff like that, why not? Why not? But there was a backlash. And the backlash came from the authorities on the brewing company that hired those women. Obviously, because they hijacked a specific event whose rights are owned by FIFA. And FIFA sells those rights on to the advertising partners that sign multi-billion dollar deals, advertising deals with the global organization known as FIFA. So obviously those advertising partners would all come and ask FIFA, so you allow such people to hijack your events to get free publicity. Why are we paying the astronomical quantities in terms of associating our brand name and products with your event? So FIFA will make use of one or other legal route against, or they did against that brewing company. The same, like in the previous example that I also explained to you with regards to, you know, using public property or public spaces for your activation. Listen, if you are hiring a crowd of people to do a dance routine about a great reveal or a great launch of a product, there's nothing wrong with that. But the moment you go and paint on a pavement, or paint on a road, or paint on a wall somewhere, you are committing vandalism in some form. I mean, the best example of guerrilla marketing in terms of like street guerrilla marketing has been when McDonald's in New York City painted the famous there at Times Square. There's an intersection there where a lot of people, pedestrians, walk over. Even in, well, no, not in Tokyo. Tokyo, it'll be difficult. But even in some parts of Asia, in the big cities of Asia, companies have done the same thing. They would paint a product or their brand name and logo on the street so that anyone sitting in the office blocks above that intersection sees the big name. I mean, if you go to Cape Town, there where they've got the one McDonald's, when I was there, the McDonald's doesn't own the building. They don't own the building. But because their shop, their distribution point is in that building, they painted the whole building's face, the face facing down the street of Long Street. The whole face was painted with the McDonald's logo. A whole face of a building. I mean, they are flats. The building is technically a flat building, and below it's at the last, the most bottom floor, the ground floor on the street level, is where this takeaway is, this McDonald's takeaway. The whole building was painted with a massive big yellow M. Now, if you're at one end of the street, ne, of that street in Cape Town, that iconic street known as Long Street, if you're at one end of Long Street, you can see that big yellow M at the end. And I'm talking about that's a clear 1.5 kilometer distance. I'm talking about you're almost at the train station. That's how long that street is. Now, signal that aspect, and I know this is two different countries, because Namibia obviously would have its own property laws in terms of how you deal with vandalism. But if you have an aspect in terms of activating or doing something that is mind-blowing, first, please get your permissions in order. Get your permissions in order. Now, one of the other notable guerrilla marketing mistakes that have come through is in 2007, the entertainment company Cartoon Network promoted a show by placing LED signs resembling a character from the show all over the city of Boston. Now, the signs created a bomb scare and also cost the company that owns Cartoon Network about $2 million in fines, because at that stage, if you guys can remember the Boston bombing that just took place a few years later, or just similar in that same time vein, in that same time frame, unfortunately, that's one of the things, because some people might get triggered, meaning some people will have negative reactions to your exercise. The other one was in 2005, a Guinness World Record attempt. Snapple. If you guys have ever seen Snapple, those guys with the glass bottles and the nice little cap in terms of the packaging effort. Snapple promoted its new frozen treats by erecting a 15 meters, a 15 meter popsicle. Now, popsicle is that that kind of fruit pulp ice cream. It's not an ice cream, but it's a popsicle technically. You know, it's just frozen fruit pulp in the New York City park. The popsicle melted faster than what was expected, and it covered the park in a sticky, juicy goo, requiring the fire department to come and wash it off. So, one end, you might have a fabulous idea, but also understand the season that you might be in. Because what happens is, if you are bringing something that requires to be frozen, guys, the natural elements will be your worst enemy in that regard. But nonetheless, guerrilla marketing can be done by anyone. Guerrilla marketing can be used by anyone. Guerrilla marketing, guys, is technically free of charge in most cases. It's free of charge. Guerrilla marketing happens on your WhatsApp, even when you don't realize when it's happening. It's happening. Now, understand that with guerrilla marketing, you've got a small budget, you've got an impactful message that you want to get out there, as well as also you want your customers to act on the messaging. Now, on that note, it brings us up to the end of today's session of the Brand Conversation here with me, Dwight, on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Also, remember to stay tuned as the On The Radar team are ready to make their entrance and provide you with the in-depth discussion that they want to share with you here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Stay tuned for the next programming and for the rest of your programming heading out through the rest of the day. On that note, let's see each other again later today on the Business and Economic Zone, where we'll be going into some more in-depth discussions here as well. On that note, enjoy the rest of your afternoon and stay tuned for the On The Radar.
Hello, Namibia. Inderapa manate muyuni walelape. Lelape onkaro ompu wamafutiro no kwethisa ngoka haguningwa pamkaro gongodi hokatavuru okutuminako omatumaraka goe agehe na ngoka gopaipindi no tagadhanwa no kutuwa mombepo ethimbo ojo tuunjoka. Otovuru okuningashike ko lelape. Otovuru okutura omatumaraka goe mombepo tarongitha oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka ka Lela Bay nenge utre moshifo sho The Villager ni kwao ya wedhapo. Otovuru okuninga omafutiro goye. Otovuru ishe okuturako omatumaraka goegi nima ya yoroka. Ngashi omatumaraka gorukozi, omatumaraka gomahio, omatumaraka gomaharero ya mbeko gomavaro, no matumaraka gokwarukehe ngoka wahara utseithere oshiwana ashikesho mo Namibia, okuza owarapo dorandatu ni thiringa itano metumaraka kehe. Lela Pay oharongo ngini. Konga oka epa ko Lela Pay ko Play Store nenge ko App Store eto katura kakare kerimongo dioe. Paturura o akaunta e oshari eto turamo omo.